What was God's path of wisdom? Well, look at the next slide. This is what the Lord said. God says, I have a pathway for you in Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20. God's pathway, number one, that God must become your personal pursuit. Notice what it says in verse 18, that he shall write for himself. Wow, a copy of this law. It's a personal pursuit. Number two, pursuing God would be inconvenient because it says in verse 18, from the one before the priests of the Levites. Now, just think for a minute what that means. This isn't something Solomon could do in his robe and slippers. He couldn't just sit there with the fire going in his fireplace, you know, eating breakfast and, you know, sitting in bed and copying this thing. He had to get up, get ready, get dressed, and make a trip from his palace to the tent outside of town where the tabernacle was and where the scrolls of the Pentateuch. And the priest would have to get them out of the chest, and the priest would have to lay them on a table. There was only one copy, and they were very, very special and important and revered. And he had to sit there as the priests were watching him 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for 6 months, and hand copy for himself. Look back at the slides. Pursuing God will be inconvenient to your life. It was especially for Solomon. Number three, God's word must be your guarded treasure. Verse 19 says, and it shall be with him. Now look up for a second. Think about this. Did you know I was taught when I was a young person, like many of you that are actually taking this course for credit in Bible institutes, I was taught by my youth pastor that this book, the Bible, should go with me when I went to school every day. Now, we didn't have electronic devices back then. When you went to school, you had a stack of books. You had your English book and your math book and your science book and your history book and whatever other courses you were taking. And usually, and by the way, they hadn't invented backpacks 40 years ago when I was in school. We carried everything. And so here's this big arm of books. And what our pastor, my youth pastor said is, the top book in your pile should be your Bible. Now look back at that slide. Where did he get that from? Deuteronomy 17:19, and it shall be with him, the king. God wants us to guard the scriptures and have it be a part of our life. The next slide, the fourth point of God's pathway, reading the word must become your personal habit, and he shall read it. Now look up. I know that many of you that are in training are in school and you're studying the Bible. And you have to write down the chapter title of every title of the Bible, and you have to do all of these different things that you're doing, and you have to do readings for your Bible classes. And especially if you're in the two-year program, it's just like you're immersed in the scripture. We're not talking about during Bible school. Look back at that slide. Reading the word must become your personal habit, whether you're in school or not, and he shall read it. The next slide, number five, of God's pathway, how to pursue him and his wisdom, nurturing your soul must become a lifelong habit. It was a daily reading, but look what verse 19 says, all the days of his life. Now pause. Let me ask you. Do you hunger for the Word of God as much as you are reminded in the morning that you want breakfast or coffee or tea? Or at lunchtime when you got up and didn't have breakfast, your stomach is growling and you're looking for something to eat? Or you're famished at dinner and the only thing on your mind is, where am I going to eat and I don't want to miss the meal? Did you know the Bible says that we're supposed to hunger after the pure milk of the word until we grow enough that we feast on the meat of God's word? Number five, nurturing your soul must become a lifelong habit. Number four, it must become reading the word as a personal habit that cultivates a lifelong habit. And now look at number six, spiritual growth takes up your time. It's not instantaneous. Verse 19 says, it continues, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Whoa, look at this. God says, Solomon, you ruined your life because you didn't obey my word and select friends God's way, because you did not commit to seeking God's path of wisdom. You didn't realize spiritual growth takes time. It's not instantaneous. It takes time to read the Bible. It takes time to mark the scriptures. It takes time to memorize the scriptures. Are you committed lifelong, personally, to long-term growth? That's God's pathway. Oppositions him sexually. Do you remember what Joseph said? Not only did he say no and flee, but before he fled, he looked at Potiphar's wife and he said, how can I do this evil and sin against what? God. I have a phonographic mind. In other words, when I talk to you, I'm actually seeing pictures. I was seeing Joseph right then. I was seeing, Solomon supposed to copy this. I was seeing David as he did copy it, and it came out in all those Psalms he did. Do you know what I think of when I think of Potiphar's wife and Joseph's statement to her? Joseph said, how can I do this evil and sin against God? And Potiphar's wife went, God? There's nobody else in this room. There's nobody else in this house. Who are you talking about? What's the fear of God? You know God's watching all the time. Proverbs reminds us of that. That's God's path of wisdom. To say, Lord, I want to go your way and you're watching. You saved me. You redeemed me. You bought me at a price. You've given me your wisdom. I want to start redeeming my time for eternity. Number six, spiritual growth takes up your time and it's not instantaneous. Number seven, God wants your obedience, not just going through motions. Now, what does verse 19 say? And be careful to observe, look at the next word, all the words of this law and these statutes. The king copied all of those words down so he would know how God wanted him to select his friends, so that he would heed God's path of wisdom. And specifically, Solomon would know that he's not supposed to multiply horses, not multiply wives, and not multiply wealth. Now you say, wait a minute. I thought Solomon inherited the biggest fortune ever passed on from his dad, David. Yeah, but what did David do with his wealth? Remember, David had done this. David had heeded God's path of wisdom. That's why he writes the 19th Psalm and talks about the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And he says, it's sweeter than honey in my mouth. I love it. I long for the word of God. He had done this exercise. He had copied his own copy. It shows up in all of his Psalms. It shows up in all of his dealings with people. David followed God's path of wisdom. Solomon didn't. He just went through, number seven in your slides, he went through the motions and was not careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. Number eight, God expects you to choose humility. Deuteronomy 17:20, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren. Now, while Solomon was to do this path of wisdom, look what he would have bumped into. You see, these are the top 10 themes of the book of Proverbs. The wisdom of being, remember what chapter 1, we read this, chapter 1 says, I'll put my spirit on you. See, that's salvation. Proverbs talks about the Holy Spirit saving people. And the king was supposed to be reminded of God's salvation, of being a servant, of having selecting the right friends. But look at this. So that he would submit to God and not be proud. Now back to number eight. God expects you to choose humility. What is humility? That your heart may not be lifted up above your brethren. God wants us not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Number nine, God expects your submission. Deuteronomy 17:20 says, continuing this verse, it says that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left. And what the Lord is saying is, I want you to submit to me. I want you to say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. By the way, what is servanthood? It's being willing to have someone tell you what to do. Do you know what most people say? I'm not going to have anybody tell me what to do. Most people bristle at being told, go over there, do this, wear that, come at this time, you know, whatever. We don't like rules, and we don't like to be bossed around. But what did God say? Jesus said to his disciples, who's the greatest among you? The one who's the greatest what? Servant. Now, let's just talk for a minute about that word servant, because in the New Testament, the word that is translated most often servant is literally the word in English, slave. What word is that? Doulos. Now, the New Testament translators, when they came to the Greek word doulos, which meant slave, that's all it meant. No doubt, it's always in literature, doulos, slave. But when they were translating the Bible, slavery, just like today, was a very bad topic, controversial, and looked down upon, and no one could ever think that God wanted to call us slaves. But that is what he said. And a slave is someone who is willing to do what they're told to do. A slave has no rights. A slave doesn't own anything. A slave doesn't have anything to look forward to except a lifetime of doing what someone else tells them to do. And when we got saved, God owns us. And we become his doulos, plural douloi. Servants? Mm-hmm. Except a servant could pick who they served. A slave had no choice. They just responded in obedience. Back to your slides. God expects our submission. We're his slaves. And we're not supposed to turn from his commandment to the right or to the left. The final element from God's pathway in Deuteronomy 17 is God wants to bless you and offers you a spiritual heritage. Here was the promise to the king, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, and he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now look up. What's God saying? God's saying, if you will heed my path of wisdom, it's going to cause you to have longevity, prosperity, success. What does Joshua 1:8-9 say? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may prove to do what is acceptable in the Lord's sight. And then what does it say? And he will prosper you in all that you will do. Fear not, he said, I'm going to bless you in every way if this book of the law that you follow, God's path of wisdom, if you respond and submit, if you are submissive, if you have a singular focus, if you are self-controlled by the Spirit, if you see all of life as a stewardship, that you don't own it, that your money and time belong to God, if you're hardworking and studious, if you're sober-minded, you have a godly mind, and speak wisely, you'll show that you belong to God.